And now, back to Brainstorming with Billy.
It turns the brains into guacamole.
Now, here's your host, Billy the Brain.
Welcome back. This is Bill Frank, and you're listening to Brainstorming with Billy the Brain here on KKZZ, Positive Talk Radio for Ventura and Santa Barbara Counties. Every show has a theme, and today's theme is bombshells. Each of my guests is describing a bombshell, whether it's in business or geopolitics. My next guest is the former Deputy Undersecretary of Defense for Intelligence. He's written a novel about a nuclear Iran and the U.S. Delta Force agent who infiltrates the Iranian nuclear program to stop the threat. We'll discuss his novel, Kiloton Threat. And if you want to join in the conversation or if you want to ask a question, you can call us at 639-0008. Lieutenant General Jerry Boykin, now retired, was the United States Deputy Undersecretary of Defense for Intelligence. He has played a role in almost every major U.S.-American military operation, serving in Grenada, Somalia, and Iraq. In 1980, he was part of the Delta Force Operations Officer on the Iranian hostage rescue attempt. Jerry calls this the greatest disappointment in his professional career because we didn't bring home the 53 Americans. On the more positive side, Jerry helped capture Panamanian dictator Manuel Noriega. He hunted the notorious drug lord Pablo Escobar, and he served in Vietnam, Iran, Mogadishu, Iraq, and Afghanistan, plus a tour of duty with the CIA. He is currently an author and teaches at Hampton Sydney College in Virginia. Jerry graduated from Virginia Polytech Institute and State University, commonly known as Virginia Tech, with a bachelor's degree in English. Hi, Jerry. Welcome to the show. How are you today?
Hi, Billy. It's good being with you today.
Well, thank you for being my guest. And first, before we get into it, on behalf of my listeners, let me thank you for your service to our country.
Thank you very much. It's been a great honor to be able to serve.
Well, good. Now, whether we like it or not, Iran currently has the technology to produce nuclear-grade weapons and probably has a nuclear arms program. When Iran develops nuclear weapons, it's going to join a very elite club of countries possessing nukes, and that club includes the United States, China, Russia, the United Kingdom, France, India, Pakistan, North Korea, Israel, Iran, which we suspect, and Syria, which we suspect. Only five of those countries, the U.S., China, Russia, United Kingdom, and France, actually belong to the Nuclear Non-Proliferation Treaty. So what makes Iranian nuclear weapons such a threat and the crucible for your novel?
Yeah, you've got to understand the theology of Mahmoud Ahmadinejad, as well as the Supreme Council headed by the Ayatollah Ali Khamenei. If you look at Iran through sort of a prism of Western logic, you will miss the fact that Iran is very passionate about ushering in the reign of their Messiah, or their Mahdi, or their 12th Imam. Now, that 12th Imam will only return in an atmosphere of bloodshed and chaos. There is no greater way for Mahmoud Ahmadinejad to create global bloodshed and chaos than to use a nuclear weapon, particularly against his avowed enemy, and that's Israel, which would throw the entire world into global chaos. And I think that we are really missing the boat when we fail to understand how deeply passionate he is about what he believes is Allah's calling for him to personally usher in the reign of the Messiah.
Now, talking to Islamic experts and theologists, they tell me that this is really not an abomination, but certainly a distortion of what Islam teaches, that this is sort of, let's call it, the radical fringe, if we shall, Jerry. So talk to me about how can a country that has, I don't know how many millions of people, go off on a radical fringe and threaten world peace simply because of their distorted religious ideology?
Yeah, you know, even within Shia Islam, there's obviously a huge split between Sunnis and Shias. But even within the Shia sect, Mahmoud Ahmadinejad and Supreme Council represent a rather radical global view, even within Shia. And they are radicals. They are, I would say, the most apocalyptic in all of Islam. All Muslims believe in a Messiah, but only the Twelvers, represented by Ahmadinejad, believe that the Messiah is the 12th Imam, or the 12th descendant of the Prophet Muhammad, and is only going to return in this atmosphere of bloodshed and chaos. So yes, even within Shia Islam, they are a fringe. The sad thing is they are in power right now. And in fact, when Ruhollah Khomeini, the Ayatollah, returned from France in 1979, he brought back this extremist theology, and that's who's in control today.
My guest is former Lieutenant General Jerry Boykin. We're talking about his latest novel, Kiloton Threat. So tell us the premise behind your book, Kiloton Threat. Give us the protagonists. What actually goes on within your novel, Jerry?
Well, what I try to highlight with the novel is I try to highlight the serious danger of Iran as a nuclear power and the theology that we just discussed, and how that would compel them to use this nuclear warhead, particularly against Israel. Now, let me just say, as a sort of a diversion here, if they have one goes to Israel. If they have two, the second one goes to Saudi Arabia, because there's also bad blood there. But the concept of the novel is that there is a nuclear scientist that has been working on this program that wants to defect, and we send a young man in that is a Delta Force and now operating under CIA authorities to go and bring this guy out, and in the process of doing so, he encounters more than he expects. But the idea is that there are people, in fact, that are dissatisfied inside that regime with Ahmadinejad and the direction that he has taken them. There are many who don't share his theology because he is a radical, and there are many who want out of there, but there are also many who are trying to overthrow the government, and quite frankly, a lot of them are coming out of the underground church there in Iran, which is growing substantially. And I try to highlight the fact that the underground church, the Christian church in Iran, is actually growing in not only size but influence.
Now, talk to me a little bit, because your book is really themed and laced in the theme with religion and faith, because your main protagonist, Blake Kershaw, he really has to balance his faith that he has in Christianity with the job that he does as a professional killer. So there's a lot of religious turmoil in there. So talk to me about the rise of Christianity within Iran. Why is that going to be such a stabilizing influence within that country, if it takes hold?
There have been quite a number of people that have come out of Iran and come into Western countries, particularly the United States, that have had an epiphany, and they've seen the light, and they've realized just how dangerous the Islamic theology is, and they've converted to Christianity, and they have done so with a great passion to go back into their own countries, either virtually or literally, and in most cases it is virtual, but some do go back physically, and to start leading people away from this very dangerous theology that Ahmadinejad believes in. And consequently, because there are so many people broadcasting into there with a Christian message and explaining to them that they don't have to live in the bondage of this theology of Ahmadinejad, that many have left Islam, are converting to Christianity, and the underground church is growing and becoming very problematic for the leadership of Iran. In fact, they are pursuing them with a real passion. But a lot of the street protests that you see, for example, after the fraud election of Ahmadinejad, a lot of the people out in the streets there were really members of the underground church there, and it's becoming a huge problem for them. Now, with regards to my protagonist there, I like to try and present this issue of faith in a practical light. You know, we've got so much legalism within the Christian church today. Well, I consider myself a Christian, but I must tell you, a long time ago I reconciled with the fact that as a soldier I would have to kill people. As a CIA operative, I would have to lie to people about who I was and what I was doing. And I try to present those things in a practical light, really to see, but get beyond the black and white dogmatic theologies of the denominations and put this in a practical perspective. They're things that just don't match up.
Well, now, this is one of the more interesting aspects of your book. My guest is Jerry Boykin, author of the book Kiloton Threat. How can you hold two contradictory beliefs at the same time, both assassin and Christian, or soldier and Christian? Talk to me a little bit more about that and how you develop that.
First of all, there's no contradiction. To begin with, if you ask the average American, how can you kill someone if you're a Christian? Well, where do you get it from that I can't? And they say, well, the Bible says thou shalt not kill. And my answer to that is not what the Bible says. What the Bible said when it was written was thou shalt not murder, and there's a huge difference. When it was translated from Hebrew to English, it came out kill, but the Bible said murder. Secondly, if you know anything at all about the Bible, after the Ten Commandments were handed down, God told the Israelites to cross the Jordan River and kill them all. He said, kill them all. If you don't, they'll corrupt you. Well, he didn't contradict himself. What he said to begin with was, thou shalt not murder. And with regards to the issue of lying, there's ample proof in the Bible that prophets used deception. They lied to protect their tribes and to gain advantage over their enemies. So there's no contradiction, but we've got so many legalists that that can't think their way through these things and put them in their proper perspective that part of what I'm trying to do with the book is get them to stimulate some thinking about this.
My guest is former Lieutenant General Jerry Boykin. We're talking about his latest book, Kiloton Threat. Jerry, let's go back to the more geopolitical side of this, if we can. And let me ask you, what's the likelihood of Israel will attack Iran over the nuclear program? But before you answer that, let me just give a brief history for our listeners. In 1981, Israel launched Operation Opera against the nuclear reactor in Iraq and took out the Iraq. And as recently as 2009, President Bush deflected an Israeli request to use bunker bombs to attack the nuclear reactor that they believe is producing nuclear-grade weapons in Iran. A recent newspaper story in Kenha, which is published, and says that analysts there said America has no choice but to accept a nuclear-armed Iran. Vice President Dick Cheney, who's coming here to Ventura County tomorrow, he favors bombing Iran. So tell us, what's the likelihood of Israel will attack Iran over their nuclear program?
I think the likelihood grows every day. I think that Benjamin Netanyahu has come to the point where he has no options left. The U.S. is certainly not going to do anything, and I think we've—you know—I think that's pretty clear. Now, having said that, I would tell you that the probabilities that they could destroy the program were very small. At best, they could set it back, but I don't think they can destroy it at this point. It's a long ways from Israel. It would require everything they have to be launched and to be on target, and this facilities there, there may be as many as 200 of them. They're underground, and they're spread out all over the country. So I don't think that it's necessarily a given that they could knock this program out. Now, I think what in reality, we have frittered away the opportunity to really stop the Iranians, we the Americans, we the U.S., along with our allies. And I think the best thing that we can do now is start thinking very seriously about how we're going to defend ourselves and our allies against a nuclear-armed Iran, because I just don't see anybody, including the Israelis, that at this point is able to stop them without substantial military action.
Well, let me just ask the follow-on question. Can Israel attack Iran without really embroiling the entire region in a war?
I don't think so, because the Iranians have already said, if they are attacked, they will immediately shut down the Persian Gulf. Now, whether we like it or not, the world is dependent on Mideast oil, and particularly the Americans. So if they were to shut down Mideast oil, even if it was only, you know, for a period of, you know, 2 weeks to a month, while we had to go in militarily and reopen the Persian Gulf, that the devastation on our economies around the world is going to be substantial, and right now, as fragile as we are, I don't think our economies would withstand it.
My guest is former Lieutenant General Jerry Boykin. We're talking about his latest novel. Jerry, you said that Benjamin Netanyahu is rapidly approaching a point where he has very few options. What are some of his different options? For example, could he use a full submarine blockade to prevent Iran from, you know, blockading or destroying the Suez Canal? I mean, what are his options militarily?
Well, he can do that, but that's not going to stop the missile program has been started there. And, you know, they've tested a Shahab-3 which has certainly the range to reach Israel. So no matter what they did in the maritime environment there, they're not going to stop the program. The centrifuges are spinning. They have been. They've got thousands of them spinning right now. The Bushehr nuclear reactor is up and running. And at the end of the day, his best bet is to take out the leadership of Israel. Now, what's the chances of doing that? Pretty slim. But in my view, the best bet is to find a way to take out the leadership of Israel. But it's a very difficult task.
Cut the head off of the snake.
Not the leadership of Israel. I'm sorry, the leadership of Iran.
Cut the head off the snake, you kill the problem. My guest is Lieutenant General Jerry Boykin. He's the author of the book, Kiloton Threat. Jerry, what do you want people to take away from reading your book, Kiloton Threat?
I want them to understand what motivates Ahmadinejad and the Supreme Council. I want them to understand the seriousness of this threat. And I also want them, for those who are of the same faith that I am, I want them to put their faith in a realistic perspective and understand that there are some great Americans out there that are people of faith that are receiving no credit for what they do, but they're out there doing great things to protect this nation, and that's why I portray a protagonist as a man of faith and character and integrity who's doing some pretty tough stuff.
It's a great book. It's Kiloton Threat. Lieutenant General Jerry Boykin is the author. Jerry, if people are intrigued by what you have to say, they want to learn more about you, learn more about the book, where would you direct them to go?
Well, they can certainly, the book is available at all the bookstores as well as Amazon, doing pretty well on Amazon right now. And my website, which is my ministry, actually, is called Kingdom Warriors, one word, kingdomwarriors.net, and they can find more information there, and they can find where I'm speaking at different places around the country.
That is great. My guest has been the former Lieutenant General Jerry Boykin, author of the book Kiloton Threat. Jerry, it's been a real delight. Thank you so much for being my guest here on Brainstorming with Billy the Brain. We'll talk to you down the road.
Been great being with you. Thanks so much for what you're doing.